Into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot. Don't shoot! Oh, what a goal for Fabinho! Wow!
And get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No, I'm...
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap?
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power.
Fake crowd noise. The Emirates never sounded so good.
Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
Welcome back. Manchester United have released a statement on their website. It's bloody long and says bloody little, but I'll try and give you the abridged notes. United today announced Executive Vice Chairman Ed Woodward will step down from his role at the end of 2021. He joined in 2005, Executive Vice Chairman 2012. Then Ed says he's so proud. 16 years at the club. It's great. I'll treasure all the memories. Yada, 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 yada. We invested more than $1 billion in the squad during my time here. I'm delighted with the progress the players have made under the astute leadership of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. He says, I desperately did want to win the Premier League during my tenure. I'm certain the foundations are in place. Talks about the academy and how wonderful that is. 34 players have made it to the first team since 2013. Mentions Rashford and Greenwood. And on he goes, mentions the Manchester United women's team. Last 16 months, lots of unique challenges. Says the financial impact of COVID has been severe. United have been one of the most robust and resilient in the face of all the challenges. He wants to thank the fans for their support during the good times and the bad. Finally, a pleasure to work with so many magnificent, talented, hardworking people. Co-chairman Joel Glazer added, Ed Woodward has served the club with great distinction. On behalf of everyone at United, I would like to place on record our sincere thanks for his tireless work and dedication. His contribution to the club has been massive. He will always be welcome at Old Trafford as part of the Manchester United family. Zero mention of the European Super League in that rather lengthy statement. We're joined by Dominic Fifield of The Athletic. Hey, Dominic.
Hey, Joe. How are you doing?
Very well. You largely covered the London clubs, so there's a lot going on there. I'll come to Chelsea in a second. I think we always knew they were wavering and lukewarm, and there was the protest at Stamford Bridge this evening. Spurs and Arsenal. I mean, just the gall of this pair in particular was almost the after the lack of competitiveness of the whole shebang, the gall of Spurs and Arsenal was almost the most infuriating thing about the whole mess. So are they coming out anytime soon, or is everybody saying, look, stop releasing statements one by one, we'll release a joint one because this thing's dead in the water? Or who knows, do Spurs and Arsenal think they're going to play in the final next year?
Look, I wonder whether the American owners involved in this project end up releasing a joint statement, possibly, given how they've clearly been working quite closely together over a prolonged period of time to try and make this work. So I don't quite know where Spurs fit into that one, but then as you make the point, I'm not quite sure how Spurs and Arsenal fit in at all. Yes, you're right. Those are desperate acts, absolutely desperate acts to be involved. It feels almost like a bit of a death throes of old money, really. Although you can't really use that analogy anymore with Arsenal because they are under American ownership. It's embarrassing. It's humiliating. The speed at which this is collapsing. Is astonishing. I mean, I'm today is quite a day. I mean, today my own emotions have veered from despair at the way football was going to sort of the promise of it all, and then a slight concern as well that we're not going to suddenly be in a position where we're congratulating these clubs for doing what really they should never have done in the first place. They should never have been in this position. They should never have signed up for this nonsense, if I'm honest. And then you can throw in the UEFA element as well. I mean, I feel uneasy about supporting UEFA when we've all been critical of them over the years and the monopoly that they have got in terms of competition. And this is a weird scenario where I've actually found myself wanting them to win in this argument, but I'm intrigued as to what happens next on that front as well. I mean, this isn't over. The recriminations from this will rumble on for a long time to come, and it will probably have they will probably have implications for the individuals involved who tried to negotiate this breakaway.
Well, at the moment, Juventus have denied reports of Agnelli's departure. On Spurs and Arsenal, so I know Liverpool, Manchester United, Perez and Madrid, Agnelli and Juventus were really driving this. And we hear as well that Manchester City, Chelsea weren't so sure. Were Spurs and Arsenal just thrilled to be invited and like, well, we're not going to do much either way? Or were they trying to drive this one way or the other? Do we know?
Look, we don't know for certain because they haven't said anything. That's been one of the problems throughout this whole process. The statement on Sunday and Perez's, frankly, quite odd interview on Monday night is the extent of our knowledge from the actual men concerned at the heart of this. And we should stress that, yes, there have been media opportunities and people have been talking at these clubs to the media to try and offer us a picture of what's going on. But the reality is it's been the owners and their closest confidants and lawyers, basically, who aren't even in this country, who've been dealing this, negotiating this and sorting this out. So second guessing, I mean, I think even personnel at those clubs, including the managers, including the players, and we've seen the statements from, you know, from Pep Guardiola in his press conference today, Jurgen Klopp last night, the drip feed of stuff coming out from players during the day, from Kevin De Bruyne to Luke Shaw and now Jordan Henderson. It's making clear they're disgusted at all.
Yeah.
Just shows that none of these guys, none of these employees knew what their employers were up to.
Yeah.
And that is the bottom line. I mean, that is shameful in itself.
Breaking news keeps coming. Alexander Seferin's going to enjoy this, and you can make damn sure he's going to release a lot of statements. So he has just released one. UEFA President Alexander Seferin. He says, "I'm delighted to welcome Manchester City back to the European football family." I hope he has one of these for each team. I really do. He says, "They have shown," how patronising is this? "They've shown great intelligence in listening to the many voices." I mean, this is like the kid who stole Seferin's car. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, look, they're idiots. But in fairness, they saw the light at the end of the tunnel. "They've shown great intelligence in listening to the many voices, most notably their fans. And they've spelled out the benefits that the current system has for the whole of European football. As I said to UEFA Congress, it takes courage to admit your mistake. But I never doubted they had the ability and common sense to make that decision. City, they're a real asset to the game. I'm delighted to be working with them once again for the better future of the European game." Oh, how sweet is that to type all that up? They have this botched effort on a more serious level by the 12. And like going all guns blazing, the terrible logo, the dreadful unveiling, the statement at stupid o'clock on Sunday night, not having the Germans on board, not having PSG on board, etc. Like so many failings here. Mm-hmm. In doing so and then in collapsing so quickly, they really have undermined one of the key negotiating tactics for the future, which is the other person has to believe you're going to go through with this. You know, people are saying, oh, well, this is brinksmanship or, you know, first step towards negotiation. The other people have to believe they're going to go through with this. They are a united front. That has now been exposed, destroyed. They are in such a weak position the next time they try and do this.
Well, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, it's the whole strategy has been bizarre. Absolutely bizarre. I mean, to the extent that they, as you say, they release a statement after a day of rumour and rancour and rumour on Sunday. They release a statement in the middle of the night, effectively, and even if you're taking in American time, it's still a Sunday night, and seed all the battleground, basically. Then in the silence that followed, it just allowed everybody who was opposed to that, to this plan, which, let's be honest, is about 99% of people who like football, just to fill the void and to completely dictate the mood around the plan. It was this whole strategy was completely warped from start to finish, ill-conceived, considering they've spent so many years apparently planning this.
Yeah,
quite how it could unravel so spectacularly and just be so shoddy in its workings and in the early days is, I mean, it just shows it was built on sand, really, and it shows it was built on the whims of a few a few men, a few owners, who may not even have had that much of a relationship with each other.
Mm.
I mean, I don't know. I don't think Roman Abramovich gets on particularly well with Joel Glazer. Have they ever even met? I have no idea. I mean, they're operating in completely different circles, really. It's not as if they're both attending games at whenever, you know, Chelsea play Manchester United. Mm. It's been a mess from the start to finish. And look, it's, as I say, it's not over because, you know, JP Morgan are going to want, they've set aside funds. Contracts have been signed here. I mean, the clubs that remain, and that's, you know, Juventus and Real Madrid, I mean, who are desperate, by the way, absolutely desperate financially. I mean, they're in a far worse predicament, arguably, than any of these Premier League clubs that joined.
Yeah.
They're going to want those contracts fulfilled, and it's all going to, I mean, it's going to kick off, and again, the next few days will be hell.
No, it's a good point. I mean, there's different perspectives in all this. Like, the American owners are coming from, you know, their own model perspective, I suppose, in terms of relegation and a certainty over revenue. Chelsea, Man City, kind of like, oh, okay, I mean, if everyone's doing it, I guess we'll do it and see what happens. The Spanish clubs broke, Italian clubs broke, you know, desperate to keep up with the state-run teams, the cities and PSGs of the world. So everyone's coming at it from a different angle. On Arsenal and Spurs, like, Kroenke is definitely all about the money here, and we're seeing, like, Arsenal go to rack and ruin. It's funny with Spurs. I've never given Joe Lewis a second thought. I always just associate Spurs with Levy. Spurs equals Levy. And yet, obviously, Joe Lewis is the owner. What's your sense of Spurs and Lewis and all this?
I don't know on Lewis. I don't think anyone does.
Yeah, it's amazing the profile he keeps.
Yeah, I mean, but to be honest, our insights into Daniel Levy are fairly fleeting and largely limited to Amazon documentaries.
Okay, right.
These are secretive guys. But I think it's fair to say that Levy is, in the same way that, I don't know, Marina Granovskaya runs the day-to-day business at Chelsea, Levy is effectively running Spurs for Joey Lewis. I mean, he's very much been in these negotiations, and he's been the one that's been involved in all this. Mm. And I imagine that, you know, in the same way that at Chelsea, possibly that was Bruce Buck who was leading those, and clearly Ed Woodward at Manchester United.
Mm.
But, I mean, look, you can go back to 2017, and there was that famous photograph that appeared, I think, in the Daily Mail over here, of John W. Henry and Glazer and Woodward and all meeting in a restaurant in New York. And what a sensational photograph that is. And we put two and two together then, and we actually got it right. And this, you just would have thought that, you know, 4 years on, they would have had a more coherent strategy than what we've seen in the last 48 hours.
Even just a better logo. I mean, anything. Oh, dear. Okay, listen, thanks so much for joining us. I'm sure you're busy and you're cracking away there for The Athletic, Dominic. Thanks a mil.
Cheers, all the best.
Cheers. Dominic Fifield there, who covers all the London clubs for The Athletic. Football on Off The Ball is with thanks to Paddy Power. For information on responsible gambling, visit gamblingcare.ie. Philippe Auclair is going to join us next.
Football on Off The Ball
with Paddy Power. Fake crowd noise? The Emirates never sounded so good. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
The OTB Podcast Network.